Good afternoon. It's not up. Oh, it's loading. Okay. I want to talk to you just a little bit about this program. This program is using Promotores. It was funded by Highlands Homeopathic Pharmaceutical. Who any of you have used the teething drops and the other things that I did? I was really thrilled to do, after having three children, to be able to form this alliance with Highlands, to really take a look at Promotores and also to take a look at some of the materials that we're going to show you here today. I'd first like to thank our co-authors, Rachel Linares, who was very involved in the formation of the calendar, Dr. Laura Hoyt-Diana, who I think is with us today in the back, who helped us with our analysis, Dr. John Bornham, Thomas Sigmuth, Eleanor Cochran, and Maria Jurado. We don't have any, going that way, okay. Just to give you a little bit of context, in terms of the Latino population, 11.7 or 33% of the state population, we all know that's probably a little bit of an under-reporting. 44% of Hispanics are under the age of 18, the median age is 26. So for all the racial and ethnic minorities, we see that this is definitely the youngest, which points to potential growth in terms of the population. 54% live in households with over five persons, so word of mouth is very essential, and that's why I think Promotería works so well within the Latino community, is because there are so many relationships that information can be passed through. 33.5% are foreign-born, 4 million are from Mexico. Lowest educational attainment, 46% have not graduated from high school. 1 of 10 Hispanics are unemployed, and we know that's rising, and we also know that there's an influx of re-migration to Mexico now. 20% are in poverty, primarily children. And the other thing that we see that is a very, very big concern is breastfeeding decreases among Latinas who've been in the U.S. over longer periods of time and who are more acculturated. And I hate to talk about acculturation being just a line. I really like to think of it as transculturation. But for now, this is what we know in terms of the research. So when we see those rates of breastfeeding decrease, we have to really, and some of the earlier data from Aida Giacello, where we see that formula sales really go up with participation in terms of WIC program, we need to begin to evaluate how we can really work with Promotores to make sure that women are breastfeeding. And 65% of infants born in LA County are born to mothers reporting Latina descent. So this is something we want to look at. And immigration status, language, cultural competency, cost, transportation, lack of knowledge in terms of where to go, lack of proximity to services, and lack of childcare constitute formidable barriers to health services. And especially now when we look at immigration, more and more people are fearing accessing care, right? And it doesn't matter what the rules are, it's the perception that if I go there, this might be problematic. And even if I'm legal, it might be problematic for one of my family members, right? So there's a great deal of fear right now and a great deal of stigma. Latinos are more likely to lack health insurance when compared to African Americans and whites. 58% of non-citizen Latinos lack health insurance, and that's including residents. Homeopathic practices are common in Latin America and are frequently used by immigrant populations, so this might be a way to really help them understand. And when you go to a farmacia in part of Latin America, there's part that's homeopathic and there's part that's Western medicine, right? And this is just common practice. And Sylvia's going to talk to you just a bit about the project goals.
Good afternoon, everybody. I feel very privileged to be co-presenting this project with Britt. And so we're going to continue with the project goals. So some of our goals here we listed are to improve the health outcomes of Latinas and their infants. And we wanted to ensure that Latinas in their prenatal and postnatal phases of motherhood are educated about various positive health behaviors, such as infant care and feeding practices, self-care, and emotional support. And we also wanted to improve knowledge about maternal and child health issues with particular emphasis on breastfeeding, infant feeding, and care, enhance self-advocacy skills in the area of health, and provide support to Spanish-speaking pregnant Latinas through 2 months postpartum. And our research and program objectives are to evaluate the effectiveness and impact of a Promotores-based educational intervention on a number of factors, which include maternal and infant health and care, knowledge acquired, breastfeeding initiation, duration, and exclusivity, age-appropriate infant feeding, and self-advocacy related to health. And so we went through a process of developing the materials for the project, And so we developed this Spanish language maternal infant calendar in which we underline certain topics such as asuntos de salud, which are health-related information, as well as learning and growth of the child month to month, section on the daily care of the child, as well as the different milestones that the infant reaches. So every month we progressively, you know, they change throughout the months as the infant grows. And we also developed a curriculum alongside with the calendar. And so we did it so that it was an easy, portable, double-sided flip chart, or which we call rotafolio. And Dr. Real Salas is illustrating that here. And so it's very easy to just carry with them. And we'll kind of go into a little bit of detail why we wanted this portable information for the promotoras, and also the evaluative instruments, which we developed with Dr. Diana. And let's see.
And
And so I'll let Britt talk a little bit about building our community capacity.
And just in terms of the calendar, I want to touch on this. There was a really great study, and I think it was published in American Journal of Public Health, I think, on calendar use in Tijuana. And calendars can be a great way, especially if we can instruct women to put them above the changing table or the area where women frequent. And what we did with this is we added, because so many times people get infant books and there's a lot of stuff that they have to write and it's just not an appropriate way to track development. And so this has like baby development, first time baby smiles, first time baby rolls over, when baby sits up, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a rolling calendar so the mom can use it. And they've really been very, very happy with the calendar. And I'll just show, the last picture is my favorite, so I want to show you. He's got the piñata and he's a year old looking up at it. So, I mean, you can kind of, and we'll pass this around so you can take a look. But it's very colorful and it just has just different information that the mom can use, always with the concern of the mother and the father as well. And we tried to show also father involvement because so many times that's an issue. And now that women have multiple roles after they immigrate here, we really wanted to show that the father needs to be involved. And, you know, and of course that's bottle feeding, but at the same time, we're advocating that women would pump their milk out and let the father experience the feeding as well. So, Sil, do you want to pass that around? And on the rotafolio, what you'll see is that there's information that the promotora is showing to the mom, and then on the back, it's the information that the promotora is relaying, right? So she can stand this up. It's not set up very well, but she can stand this up. And then she can give the information here. The main message is here, and then on the back, she's got some prompts for her as well. And all of our promotoras went through an extensive training and actually took an exam and had to pass the exam in the end. So it was really important. And I want to talk a little bit about promotería in general. There's 100 years of proven leadership. It was developed in line with the Freirean thought, for those of you who've read Pedagogy of the Oppressed. The model is used by the World Health Organization. It's an effective use of community resources. One of the things that I think is so important about promotería is it's not us as academics or anyone else going into a community and then removing the program. The skill sets stay within the community. So, and a lot of our promotores work with us to formulate all of the information and the messages that we're giving. So it's really community-based participatory research activities. Recreate social support mechanisms that are often lost when immigrants come to the U.S., which is really essential because any of you who have been to Latin America know that your neighbor is just as important as your mother, right, in terms of getting in trouble, right? Or just getting, you know, finding out what's going on with the neighborhood, you can just go sit outside in the curb and find what's been happening throughout the past year, right? There's a high sense of community, which is often lost, especially if you're fearful of immigration issues, et cetera, et cetera. It's particularly effective within communities that have little access to culturally linguistically relevant health care and can be used to help interpret the bureaucratic health care system of the U.S.
So why has Promotoria taken on a new stride? First of all, the U.S. healthcare system is failing many people. There's a need for best practices that are built with a community focus in mind, and there's a new paradigm for sustainability and legitimacy, which results in building Promotores models within the community and hopefully reducing and eliminating Latino health disparities. So these models are based, the Community Health Outreach Model, or CHUM, is based on social action theories, participatory research, ecological perspective, behavioral change theories, train-the-trainer models, and it really leads from the Promotores through community partners. We work a lot with community-based organizations through process dimensions in Latino health promotion, and hopefully just leading to disparities reduced within the community. So, and in terms of the purpose of the Promotores, promoting maternal and infant health within the Latino community through direct contact with women in their prenatal and postnatal phases of motherhood, creating an atmosphere for Latinas to learn and feel comfortable with participating in the sessions, and create social support and educational mechanisms, like I said before, that are often lost. And Sylvia is going to talk a little bit about the Promotores themselves.
And we just wanted you to meet our Promotores. We have six, actually, Promotoras, whom we've recruited and selected from the community setting, either through community health fairs, local health fairs, and events. And it was based on their community involvement and leadership experience. So they are exceptional women who are very active in their community. And the Promotoras received, as Britt mentioned, a very intense two-day training and subsequent monthly follow-up meetings, and we're continuing those on. Promotoras are hired through the university, California State University, Long Beach, and are paid an hourly wage as well as mileage to the clinics that they go to, as well as home visits. So the Promotoras are immigrant women from Mexico, Cuba, and Guatemala.
How is the guy? He's from Highlands, so he wanted to take a picture with him. We don't have a promotor. These are just, in other programs we do, but in this program, just promotor.
Yes. And just a little bit of information about the training that the Promotoras went through. So we covered topics relating to prenatal health, maternal and infant health, infant care, breastfeeding recommendations, introduction of age-appropriate foods, infant development, immunizations and common illnesses, infant safety in the home and the car, postpartum depression, the importance of medical exams and how to prepare for them, as well as recruitment strategies and educational session, which we term charlas. So we basically helped them with to be able to give the presentation. So we gave them different strategies. And just a little bit about our intervention, which is the current phase that we're in through December of this year. And the Promotoras outreach is conducted and participation is made available to 300 pregnant women from the Los Angeles and Long Beach areas through the various locations that we are partners that we work with. So we have AltaMed Health Services, who have 5 prenatal clinics, and so we work with them throughout the Los Angeles area, as well as St. Mary Medical Center, their OB clinic located in Long Beach. And they also do recruitment of participants at community health fairs and events. And so we've basically what we're trying to do is investigate the effectiveness of the Promotora model in our project. And so we've actually distinguished 2 different groups. So we have the Promotora and Calendar group, which we term PC, and then Promotora Alone group. And so at the end of the project, we hope to be able to make some kind of a comparison or analysis between the 2 groups. And our expected participant recruitment will be for both groups. We hope to reach 150 women in each group. Participation duration, we expect that our participants will be followed through for a period of 2 to 3 months. So they're expected to participate in 2 educational sessions or 2 charlas and 1 follow-up contact 3 months postpartum. The educational sessions that the Promotoras provide, they take part in a series of 2 charlas, each approximately 2 hours in duration. And so we have the charla 1, which is the initial educational session, which is done either as a one-to-one or a small group setting in the clinic or at home. and as I mentioned, clinic location and home visits. And the Charla 2 is a month, takes place a month after Charla 1, a month to 2 months later, as well as in a one-to-one or small group setting. And the follow-up, which is a phone survey, we conduct at our center, and it takes place 1 month after Charla 2. And our participants are encouraged by the promotoras to fill out these evaluations, which we use for our analysis. So that would be, and for Charla 1, we have a pre-survey and a post-survey. At Charla 2, a post-survey, and then our follow-up call survey. And so we're going to move on into our descriptive statistics. And so this is just a breakdown of our two groups. So we have the promotor and calendar group. We have 148 participants who have gone through Charla 1, 82 who have participated in Charla 2, and 43 we've conducted a follow-up call. And our promotor alone group is a bit smaller sample. And so we have 87 who have completed Charla 1, 32 Charla 2, and 9 whom we've done a follow-up contact with. So just a basic description of the participants who we've encountered for the promotora and calendar group. We had a total of 146. So the breakdown is basically we have 18% who are U.S. Born and 74% who are from Mexico. And then you see the smaller percentages from Guatemala, Peru, El Salvador, Colombia, and Nicaragua. And then on the right side, we have the promotor alone group, which is our 87 participants who have gone in through that group. And we have 7% who are U.S. born, 83 who are from Mexico, and then from Honduras, we also have 5%, Chile, Nicaragua, and then Costa Rica. And just continuing with the mean age, you can see that there isn't much difference between the groups, but our intent is to capture enough data so that we will be able to distinguish both groups. But just so you can see our preliminary data right now, we have a mean age of 27.7 years for the promotora and calendar group and 28 years for the promotora alone group. So the marital status, it's pretty close as well, similar, 78.1 to 75.8. And the educational level, we have for the promotor alone group, 15.3% have at least achieved an elementary school level education, and the promotor alone group, 7.1% of our sample. And the middle through high school, 59.8% who've achieved that educational level, and 60% at the promotor alone group. And some college, you can see that. And so the number of children is also similar. The years living in the U.S., 9.9 years average, reported receiving prenatal care. So this was at initial contact. We got this information. And so 100% basically in one group here, we have that received prenatal care. And who reported their last doctor's visit. Now that's a little, you can see the difference there. We have for the promotor and calendar group, 3.9 months ago they self-reported. And for the promotor alone group, we saw that 7 months ago was the last time that they saw their doctor. And I'm gonna switch over to Britt. She will fill you in on the details of our preliminary finding.
And the other thing I should say, when we're going back over the demographic data, what we see is that there's a higher number of U.S. born in the Altamed-based sample, and a lower level in Long Beach. And that probably points to the fact that East L.A. is actually becoming fairly middle class, and there are more people who that is not their first place of landing, right, when they come to the U.S., whereas Long Beach is a newer immigrant population. We also saw the difference in terms of education, where we saw that there were more Central and South Americans in that second sample, probably indicating why that educational difference was there as well. So we found that the participants found that the Charla content to be highly useful, and also that they found that the information was very clear, because that we always want to get back to, is what we're giving them useful for them, and also is it clear, so we can get to that educational issue as well. A major advantage of the promotores is that they replicate systems of social support, like we said, often lost when they immigrate. And we found that 92% of the participants stated it was highly likely
that they would discuss the charla content with friends and family members, which is very important because that's the way we can begin to counter some of the inaccurate information and really make sure that people are getting very accurate information around breastfeeding, infant feeding and care, et cetera, et cetera. And this was, to a certain extent, based on some work we did at the University of Maryland with a USDA-funded project that found that people were introducing all kinds of things at very, very young ages, way before when people should be introducing foods and solids. What we did find, so far we haven't seen, we combined the samples just because our sample size was so small. We hope, as Sylvia was saying, in the future to be able to differentiate between the two. But we do see a trend in breastfeeding, that, but still no statistical significance. We are seeing a slight statistical significance in terms of introduction of solid foods, meaning that they're going to introduce them later, not so early on. And in terms of future doctor visits, we're really advising them to make a list because the systems of medicine are so different between here and their home countries, where they really have relationships with one doctor, tend to have more relationships with one doctor, whereas here they've got 5 to 10 minutes, there might be a translator, they've got to get the information across, so we're really encouraging them to be better advocates for their own health and their family's health and to make sure that they're making lists, so we're asking them to do that. The implications are that promotores de salud are an effective vehicle through which to deliver maternal child health related education, that they can provide the support and advocacy skills necessary to bridge the health education access gaps, facilitating positive changes in infant feeding and care, that they're within their respective communities, they understand the contextual issues that they're relating to on a day-to-day basis when they're giving their education, so that they will be very, very effective. And that community capacity can be built through Promotería, providing an opportunity for these skills to stay within. And I'm always wondering what happens. I'd love to do a study around the children of promotores because I guarantee you they go to college, right? It's just that they really, the parents become such good educational advocates, not just on the health front, but on every other front as well. And the completion of the program will enable us to measure the differences between the promotora and calendar group and the promotora alone interventions, indicating potential direction, we hope, for promotora specific health education materials development. So what is useful and in what context? And that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. see in the green there? Among the midwives, when they do home versus hospital birth, of course the intervention rate goes up, even if it's planned at the beginning of home or hospital. And in terms of the C-section rate, not for the Svenska study, but for our study for sure, our cesarean section rate was 3.7%, and in hospital it was 19%. These are all for low-risk women, so absolutely. But that's the certified professional midwife.
Right.
Certified nurse midwife,
right.
I think the best study would be the one, I think Patricia's actually done a study that does that comparison. But let me get back to them.
Go ahead. Go ahead, yeah.
And it's also more likely to use chocolate mixing with it. So I think it's also really important. And I was just curious, in your study of Cameron County, 8,000 births, how big is the count? That sounds like an enormous number of births for that.
Oh, that's a very fair question. I don't know if I have the correct answer.
Are we saying that we have a huge number of people coming over often to birth?
No, I'm not saying that. Yeah, it would be fair to ask the total population of the county, and I don't have that off the top of my head, so I'm sorry. And that definitely is a phenomenon that I can speak to anecdotally, that happens, that some people and so that way their child is a U.S. citizen and they go back to the go back to Mexico. But I would say that from the 41 women that we talked to, again, we reached 76% of all the program participants, and of the women that we didn't reach, most of them had actually traveled north because they were migrant farm workers, and so they had traveled north, not back to Mexico. So within our study group, that's what I can say.
It's 8 times the number of, we have 500 births in our rural county.
Okay.
And so that would be 8 times, which would mean you'd have 320,000 people in that county, and I can't perceive that.
Could be. It's Texas. Yeah.
That's
appropriate. Mm-hmm.
The question is,
did
Cameron County
have
Mm-hmm.
I
bet it is, yeah.
I mean, I can see the piece of paper that I was going to say, you go to the TEH website, and I'd be happy to send you the link. But actually, I can speak with certainty about those 41 women, or those 54 women, and the ones that we couldn't reach, it wasn't because they had gone back to Mexico.
Okay. So, what you're saying is that county is a significant population base?
Yes. Yeah.
Any other questions? And I'd also like to say our committee has the next session in this room, which starts in about a half an hour, and also we have our committee meeting is after that next session, starting about 6:30 in room 27A.
I was also in a meeting the other day, and you were talking about the low breast screening rate among African American women, which I think is nationwide, but it is in Arizona. And someone brought up the issue of how successful the pro quota model is for Latinas. And someone refuted it, said, well, it works for African American women. So have you seen the translation of this model to other that's higher than successful?
All right. They've presented in our committee in the past, just last year, I think, in fact. Yeah. All right. Big round of applause for everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, great. That's great.
Thank you. I was reading it. It says, yeah, there it is. It doesn't have a number sign that's in there. I said, sure, yeah. He was a computer nerd.
Yeah.
Is that our book right there?
I think so.
Yeah.
Hello. Hi, are you one of our presenters of the 4:30?
I'm one of the moderators.
Okay.
So, yeah, I tried to get it going there. It looked like it was frozen up or something.
No, what it is, it's this mouse. Yeah, you got to use this right here. But someone took the mouse pad.
Yeah. There was no mouse pad here. It was working fine, though.
Okay. So it's just, I think the surface is reflective. We can't see it, but the mouse can.
The mouse
can
see it, yeah.
Let me see. So.
Oh, yeah.